He's replying to DARPA. I don't know the tweet DARPA had.
America, and this is Uncle Sam with Music and the Truth Until Dawn. Right now, I've got a few words for some of our brothers and sisters in the occupied zone. The chair is against the wall. The chair is against the wall. John has a long mustache. John has a long mustache. It's 12 o'clock, Americans, another day closer to victory. And for all of you out there on or behind the lines, this is your song.
You are now listening to the Patriot Power Hour, flagship show of the Patriot Broadcasting Network, a radio station focused on growing indomitable all-American 21st century liberty. This live episode of the Patriot Power Hour is brought to you by Ready-Made Resources. Plan, prepare, preserve with ReadyMadeResources.com. Now, let's welcome our hosts. Ben, the Breaker of Banksters, Cochran, and Future Dan, the editor-in-chief of the most original news radar on the planet, FutureDanger.com.
Patriot Power Hour is back in your life, February 5th, 2019, live episode. I'm excited. We got a lot going on. Of course, with the State of the Union coming up in just a couple hours, but we got the real State of the Union here on Patriot Power Hour. We'll get into a lot of stuff. This is your host, Ben Breaker of Banksters, Cochran. Let me throw it over to my co-host, Future Dan of FutureDanger.com. How you doing, sir?
And we're going into 1 hour of pre-State of the Union analysis.
The real State of the Union. I came up with a new tagline for social media. I think I forgot what it is already. It was a good one, though. For tonight's show, I'm telling you. No party lines. Only grassroots analysis. That's what it was. Not bad.
Right, right.
That's what it really is, though. You know, all kidding aside, that's what we're looking to do here. So we'll get into a lot of the same topics that Trump's going to discuss on the State of the Union. We're going to hit it from a non-political, as much as you can. Of course, everything's political to some degree. Try to hit it, get that analysis, grassroots analysis. That's what we're looking to do here. So, you know, it is February already. Can't believe 2019 in the bag. We got another government shutdown looming. I didn't even know we were going to see a State of the Union, to be honest. But they did reopen temporarily the partial government shutdown.
Yeah, and it may have been a tactic by Trump to enable a State of the Union where he declares a national emergency.
Wouldn't that be crazy if we saw that tonight? If we actually had some sort of, you know, like, well, the Super Bowl was a stinker, at least some people think. But we might get that fireworks a few days late here on the State of the Union. You think he would go so far as to have such a high drama event take place live on State of the Union where he actually does announce something like that?
Why not? What's he got to lose? But you're seeing news reports on Fox News, at least, of them seriously talking about the 1976 National Emergencies Act that was passed by a predominantly Democrat Congress right after Watergate and signed by Gerald Ford. And the language is clear that an influx of an immigration crisis with an influx of immigrants is actually spelled out as one of the things that the president could do this for. And apparently it's any powers that he takes are terminated and 2 years later. And if Congress passes by majority, it's like a bill. If they pass a bill, they can rescind it.
Okay.
So it's limited, but it's phenomenal. I mean, this is the martial law stuff that people have been concerned
about
a lot.
Whether, you know, when I came up in the anti, I don't even know what to say, globalist, New World Order, woke up to some conspiracy theories, all that stuff. Bush was in, Bush Jr. and Cheney were in office, right? So it was around the Iraq War, Iraq 2.0, and after, you know, weapons of mass destruction and into, you know, Al-Qaeda and all of that. And I'm just seeing
this is
the liberals, the left side, were always worried about privacy and worried about government takeovers and stuff. But now it's kind of in reverse, and they're trying to, you know, just the tyranny. If you're on the left or the right, it's going to hit you just as hard in the face. So either side, if they try to justify, you know, martial law type situations, well, if it comes back and bites them in the ass because Trump pulled it. Well, the Democrats have done similar things and had that opportunity themselves. It's the overall growth in big government is what I'm more worried about, I guess, is what I'm getting down to.
Yeah, but that law was passed in 1976.
Yeah, the Fed was passed in 1913. So
yeah, these laws have been in effect and available, and it's hard constitutionally not to argue that the president can declare an emergency. In fact, one could question whether the law passed by Congress that puts limits, like they can rescind it, and it only goes for 2 years, even constitutional, because that's not Article 2. Article 2 is all executive powers vested in the President of the United States. I'm adding the word all, but there's no other way to read it. So if he's able to have forces, he's always been able to declare an emergency. Yeah. Whether he does it or not, tonight or not, it really seems like it's a matter of time until Trump just gets fed up and does something like that.
We might be seeing that, for better or worse. You know, there's a lot of reasons to declare emergency, but I suppose that would be the number one thing to focus on in the short term.
Now, the screamingly dangerous part of this is that you can almost be guaranteed that the next president of the United States, who is a Democrat, is going to use it too.
Sure.
For whatever they decide they want to call an emergency.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And then after that, the Republican and the Democrat 20 years from now, and so the cycle keeps going.
To stop our country from being overrun by globalist forces that have engineered just a constant input of immigration to this country, using those very powers will set the stage for a collapse scenario where these kind of powers are exercised. And don't be surprised when that day comes, the word Trump did it will be used all the time.
Well, definitely. I like not to look much further than Europe to see when they're trying to weaponize immigration. Of course, we're not anti-immigrant. My wife is an immigrant. And there's a lot of great immigrants out there. We're all immigrants, unless you're Native American. They came over the ice bridge, right?
No one has to explain. No one has to explain that or apologize for that, though.
Right.
Walking straight across the border, straight into jobs where they're in a slave indentured servant status,
right,
exploited constantly because they can't go to law enforcement for fear of losing it all, is no way for anybody to live.
Right, and it's organized for political means. Definitely.
And to import votes for voting bloc that won't achieve its goals without it.
Voting bloc overall, cultural takeover. I mean, just look at it in Paris. You think Paris is what Paris used to be? Hell no. Not for the better. Hey, trust me, I love kebab and Muslim food and some of their culture and stuff. But that doesn't mean I want, you know, 80% of Paris to be taken over. If I was Parisian, that's what I would think. But if you say that, if you were there, say on air there, you'd be,
But
SWAT team.
To understand what deep states are, you have to look at what happened in France yesterday or today. The news just broke that they've taken some of their weapons out of storage, which they have a plan to do when they built them, because they have a nuclear force of 300 weapons that needs to be tested, just like we fire ICBMs,
right? Oh, yeah.
And we drop ordnance and practice with aircraft. They did it with essentially a nuclear strike off of a Rafael fighter. And even though their capital is overrun by people who weren't born French, the deep state in France has that capacity, and the elites in every country understand that they can bring in any amount of foreigners. They don't care. Their lives aren't affected. They have their mansions. They have their retreats. They have their government offices. They have their seats of power. They have the resorts. They have their means to travel internationally anyways.
Right.
They have their own private property. Not having to live in communities where you've imported masses of people that are underclass by very design, it doesn't touch them, which is why none of them want to do anything.
Right.
And if you're going to knock Donald Trump for anything, you can't knock him for being of that class that, you know, he owns resorts. He never would have to step foot on public property or any private property that he didn't want to for the rest of his life after being president. And it wouldn't matter to a bit to him. It won't affect him. He'll never be in a community that's affected like that, but he's trying to do something about it.
Well, I'm kind of, you know, looking at the taxes, you could look at all different types of cultural change, but you think they're going to tax the rich, and I think I saw Soak the Rich was a little Twitter meme going on a couple days ago.
Why is anybody talking about that?
Because the real elite rich, the billionaires and the multi-billionaires and, dare I say, even trillionaires in terms of assets, some of them that aren't even well-known or known at all to the public, they're exempt as well. They're able to run to different countries, offshore, this, that, and the other.
Well, they don't have income.
Money.
They don't have income. They already have all their capital gains paid for, and it's more than they can spend for the rest of their lives. Yeah, it's not about taxing the rich, it's talking about the high middle. The high middle gets hammered because who needs competition if you're at the top?
Right, and that's just like cutting the head off a snake. If you get those that are successful, cut them down, and you get it, you know. We'll see how it goes. We are coming up on break here, but I am looking forward to the rest of the show. We're going to get into a little bit more of the true state of the union. As Ben, the breaker of banksters, and future Dan see it, we also are going to get into a little bit of a new addition to the Patriot Broadcasting Network. The first one will be dropping next week, so we'll preview that later on in here. And, of course, we're going to be going to commercials, but the future Danger News Blitz is coming up on the other side of this break. Looking forward to get today's headlines before we get a little bit more into the overall state of the union. Patriot Power Hour style. Future Dan, look forward to it. We'll be right back, folks. Stick with us.
Achieve situational awareness. Be prepared. FutureDanger.com.
Hey, Patriot Power Hour listeners. Disruptions to the social, political, and economic order are a real threat. Ready-Made Resources can help you. For 18 years, Bob Griswold has run Ready-Made Resources from his homestead in Tennessee. He has a ranch where he lives and learns the lifestyle. Supply yourself with night vision. Bug out at night. Most people won't be able to. Perform search and rescue after dark. And most importantly, see your adversaries long before they see you. Ready-Made Resources now offers their lowest price ever on mil-spec PVS-14 monoculars and PVS-30 rifle scopes. Go off the grid with solar. Send secure data by long-range ham radio or mount a PEQ-15 infrared laser pointer on your firearm of choice. Give Bob a call. Talk to him personally. Let him consult with you. He'll set you up. Free shipping, easy checkout, and friendly support. Call Ready-Made Resources today at 1-800-627-3809. Plan, prepare, preserve at readymaderesources.com.
You are listening live to the Patriot Power Hour, furnished by Ready-Made Resources and fueled by FutureDanger.com.
This is the Patriot Power Hour. We are back with the Future Danger News Blitz segment two. Here we go. Column one, Liberty Column. News censorship is outrageous. Again, we got a financial blacklisting going on by Microsoft using its new browser software known as NewsGuard. Advises advertisers to avoid pro-Trump media. It's blatant, too. Now, Microsoft is outright censoring news sources that are not attacking the president and hurting them financially. YouTube is now, quote, protecting users by hiding conspiracy theories. All of the ramifications and aftermath of throwing Alex Jones off of the platform coming true this week, they're just submerging it in search results. CNN falsely labels Dem governor as a Republican during a segment while they were discussing his medical school yearbook with a photo of him in blackface and or a photo of him under a KKK hood. He's not saying which right now, but he's admitted that he's in the picture and then later denied it. The Virginia governor's a mess right now. That's not particularly dangerous. The fact that one of these networks like CNN will label him a Republican so low information voters can catch it, internalize it, and be one of six things they remember between now and the next election is probably what that kind of censorship is about. And it's dangerous. All right. Fourth Amendment news. The right to be free from unreasonable search and seizure. Well, processes are being normalized in this society and government where it's no longer considered unreasonable to let the FBI access mass amounts of computers without the knowledge or consent of the users using what are known as Rule 41 warrants. Don't have time to get into it, but look it up on Future Danger Column 1. Also, we got a report out about how civil forfeiture continues in the United States where property like cars and boats and cash are found at the scene of contact with police where no charges result, but the authorities are just simply keeping the money and property. And big story again about how that's happening widespread in the United States. All right, Pennsylvania admits up to 11,000 aliens are registered to vote, foreign citizens who have no right to vote. 11,000 found in Pennsylvania. That's just one more example, several in that indicator of large amounts of false voter rolls with aliens. Privacy annihilated. Major DNA testing company sharing all of its genetic data with the FBI. May want to think twice before dropping some swabs in the mail to one of those. National state of emergency declared. We're carrying it yellow, Ben, because as we spoke about in the first segment, president could do it at any moment. We've got a report here that the White House was finalizing its declaration in the last few days. They're ready to do it when they're ready to do it. Under the indicator clandestine space combat suspected, U.S. military space plane, the X-37B, wings past 500 days on latest mystery mission. Always keep an eye out in case conflict in the atmosphere breaks out. Hard to detect, which is why it would probably be one of the first places that the nation states do it to each other. Keep it in the dark. All right. Iran's unveiling a new cruise missile with 800-mile range. Always keep an eye on the Middle East. Column 4, we got a major resurgence of measles in the Pacific Northwest. Oregon and Washington have several dozen cases, and it's spreading to other states. This was eliminated in the United States as a disease in our lifetimes, Mr. Cochran, and now states are having outbreaks. Why are ostensibly eradicated diseases reemerging? I'd like to hear your opinion on that when we're done. All right, we got 414 dead in the Congo, second deadliest outbreak ever. Typhus epidemic worsens in Los Angeles. We got cases of some deadly illness, some very rare illness in the California soil when they have wind throwing soil in the air, dust storms and whatnot. People getting sick, several thousand. Could be deadly, not in all cases. And in column 3, you know what the news is? almost an historical low for future danger. We're carrying one single green indicator. Economic news dreadfully disappoints, which, to be fair, is the catch-all indicator of this column. Any bad news that can't otherwise be categorized falls in it. Think of it as the Category 3 miscellaneous. Jobless claims jumped to near a half-year high. Leading indicator, strange because it comes at the same moment that we have an above-expected jobs gain. That was a quarterly report, if I'm not mistaken, maybe monthly. And meanwhile, jobless claims rising. How would a leading indicator like jobs claims, that's a weekly, go to a 1.5-year high, and then we get a significantly strong report a few days later of monthly growth in jobs, Mr. Cochran?
Well, as any true financial economic analyst would say, I want to see the data before I would actually pontificate. I got to see the guts. But one question could be, hey, maybe a lot of this jobs claim is related to government shutdown, people temporarily lost their jobs, and they may not just be people that work for the government. Obviously, there are a lot of vendors and third parties that are relying upon those services. When they shut down, they may have to get unemployment.
But the previous week,
one possibility, though.
Are these numbers even worth paying attention to? Because the previous week, it was down 200,000. The report is that it was seasonally adjusted, the week ending January 26th, to the highest level since September 17th. But the previous week, it hit a October 1969 low. What is with those swings?
I don't really consider those massive, massive swings. So it just shows that it's still actually pretty strong at the, 253,000? So 253,000 new unemployed people. That sounds horrendous in a way, right? But the lowest since 1969 was 200,000. The difference between 200,000 and 250,000 is not that much. If it went from 200,000 to 450,000, maybe I'd be worried. Could be just noise.
The jobless claims imply a lot of layoffs.
Right.
Because terminations and people moving and otherwise disrupting their own careers, claims aren't as necessarily in play.
Right.
But when there's when the companies are laying off,
right,
the claims come in. And to hit a year and a half high, it must be just a blip on the radar. It only goes to show how little economic news is about as best as it can be since the beginning of Future Danger in October 2015.
Yeah, and like 250,000 is still a pretty darn low number. And just because a year and a half, and is this due to Trump or is this due to massive deficit spending and zero interest rates?
Moving the discussion to all the indicators, the idea that the federal government is going to default, no news on that. Recently.
Oh, there will be someday.
The federal service is faltering. Well, we may get another shutdown coming up, but right now it's all back to normal. We have no news of oil spiking, no bad real estate news this week. None of these credit market freezing up signs and symptoms. No news. No news of inflation higher. No, the stock market's roaring. It's not going down. It's the best economic conditions that we've seen on the heat map radar.
Since
its founding.
Yeah, I agree though. I absolutely don't believe or agree that and I'm not implying that you do, are implying this, but there's not a lot of the fundamental issues have not been solved. I'm not saying that all the issues are gone. And that's not what you're saying either. But in terms of things going on right this second, it is relatively quiet.
How long do you think, with all that background structural dysfunction and dystopia looming. What kind of stretches could we expect to see with virtually no news in column three? What would be a length of time that would surprise you before we started to see the yellows and the oranges popping back up with significant moves?
Maybe it's the cold weather and everything's just chilling out.
I think it's the growth of the economy. It's humming right now.
But we're not seeing good news either. I mean, it's just like lack of news in a way. So it's kind of like...
That's the only way we're kind of oriented to think about it. What kind of good news would you be interested in hearing? A 4% GDP growth?
Yeah, that would be great news.
Then you start to believe.
Yeah, I don't believe it. I'd see like a whole year of that 4% plus straight with low inflation numbers.
The type of country this would become if Trump really did blow the doors off in his second or third term. And it's not outside
third
of the realm
term.
Of our, second or third year of the first term. Yeah. It would be reminiscent of the economy as it was humming for Reagan as he went into his second election. It's entirely possible that he could grow it like that.
Well, we'll see what the Fed keeps doing.
I think we could see
keep
periods
raising rates. We'll have that red real quick.
I think we could see periods of very light, bad economic news up until probably the 10-month clock towards the election. Then if they're going to hoover them, they're going to hoover them then.
Well, they may. That's absolutely true, or it could be as simple as this next government shutdown is going to be the real thing, and they're really going to sabotage the market and him. You know, that first 4 or 5 weeks is over the holidays, cold weather, they're able to kind of, it's not as effective, but they may pull out, you know, use that as a real time to bring it down into the spring and beyond.
So coming back to the whole idea that the president could, in the matter of 90 minutes from now, during his speech to Congress, declare a national emergency and evoke the National Emergencies Act of 1976. Do you see, it's starting to form up in my mind as we talk tonight on Patriot Power Hour, there's really two paths here. He's going to either declare it or he's going to go for a shutdown or he's going to back down. And I don't think he has back down in mind at all. It doesn't seem like something Trump's oriented towards.
When they reopened the government last couple of weeks, it was not a back down per se. It was more of a tactical retreat for a future counter is how I would see it.
Do you think he's... But
I don't think he's going to back down either.
You think it's... if you had to weigh the three, what percentage do you put on? He's going to declare emergency.
I'm thinking
he's going to shut it down or he's going to back it down.
I'm thinking shut down is the leader and back down.
Are you? Okay, I'm different. Now I'm doing 70%
emergency?
National emergency.
Really?
Maybe. Probably about
a combo emergency shutdown.
25% chance of a shutdown longer than the last one. And,
okay.
And 5% chance that he gives up on the whole thing. He might. Every man has his breaking point, but I don't see it in him anywhere close.
Is this within the next week, your odds here, or the next month? I guess the shutdown is...
No, just the outcome. Just the outcome.
Okay.
All right, as we take it into the halfway break, you're listening to episode number
48
of the Patriot Hour. We'll be right back.
Stay right here for more of the Patriot Power Hour, the flagship show of the Patriot Broadcasting Network.
Do you want to build a website? Web-based Coding is a leading web design firm building websites since 1998. Veteran-owned and operated, Web-based Coding can build your website. They specialize in WordPress technologies. Develop a beautiful, pixel-perfect website that is stunning on computers, tablets, and phones. Web-based coding can solve your business problems on the Internet, helping you brand or sell your product or service. This company excels in e-commerce through automation, user-friendliness, up-to-date security protocols, and well-written code. Do you have a WordPress website and struggle with it? Web-based coding has programmers that can fix your site, speed it up, and add custom functionality. Call 239-362-6014 for a free consultation. Get a simple quote over the phone or visit webbasedcoding.com to view their portfolio and 5-star testimonials. Do you want to build a website? It begins at webbasedcoding.com.
You are listening live to the Patriot Power Hour, furnished by ReadyMade Resources and fueled by FutureDanger.com.
We are back, Patriot Power Hour, second half of episode 48. We're live every single Tuesday, 7 p.m. Eastern. Can't listen live, though. Always find our archive at blogtalkradio.com/Patriot Broadcasting Network. or wherever you find podcasts, simply search Patriot Broadcast Network. That's iTunes, Stitcher, all those places. And you know, probably the coolest thing about Blog Talk Radio is not only can you listen live on the internet, you can call in. We have a couple callers listening right now as well. The number to call in and listen, 619-789-6804. 619-789-6804. So if you have to listen live, it's always best live, Tuesday, 7 p.m. Eastern. But, you know, I listen to a lot of podcasts. I got a lot of stuff going on in my life. Can't always listen live to my favorite shows. So that's the way to do it. If you do call in, you can also get on the air. Press 1 on the dial pad. I'm not always taking callers, but if you feel like getting on, maybe we'll have some time for you. But let me pass it to my co-host here, Future Dan. Maybe we're getting into some good discussion about the national emergency potential for Mr. Trump tonight. And just overall, I want to inform our listeners, even brush up on it a lot myself. I don't know the specific act that well. I didn't know the martial law construct pretty well, but let's get into it. And I'm going to pass it to you while you kind of school us on the National Emergencies Act.
Yeah, they enacted it on September 14th, 1976. United States federal law passed to stop open-ended national emergencies. So Congress tried to assert a power to limit them. And, you know, the Gulf of Tonkin Resolution later, you know, resulted in the War Powers Act. So they started tinkering with the powers between the president and the legislature in the 70s because, you know, the presidencies through the 60s in Vietnam and then Nixon. You know, there's a lot of reaction against it. That used to be the left coming from that direction, wanting to limit the power. The stark difference in the history today for people that are aware of what it was like in the 70s is even at the possibility of Trump putting us into a state of special powers to the presidency and to all the federal departments, if he declares it, just signs the paper, says he did it, says it so, you don't hear him afraid, which makes you think, if you look back at how the left reacted to George H.W. Bush and George W. Bush, they started the conspiracy theories back then. They were concerned about overpowering federal government. And probably if you're far enough left on the spectrum, going back into the 80s, for good reason, because the FBI and the CIA and the Department of Defense were firmly looking for communist sympathizers towards the end of the Cold War. If you had that reputation, you were tracked by those organizations. So the lack of fear by anybody who's an opponent to Donald Trump today signifies to me that they are confident he has no control over this government. And they put it that way after the previous president. And he has no reins to pull on the harnesses of the power. He's not driving that horse in D.C., and they know it.
Yeah. And that's why when people, even though talking about Trump and the different things he brings up, the topics in particular, is very interesting and worthwhile, thinking that one man actually has so much power, especially when it flies in the face of a lot of establishment. It might be a different flavor of establishment, but the flavor he's going up against sure as hell doesn't like his orange-flavored establishment. This is one way to put it, right? So, when you're much more well-versed in constitutional law than me, can you get a little bit into what the emergency power the president should have and why maybe this 1976 act actually maybe unconstitutional and limits the president even more, meaning Trump may really, he may should have more power than this constitutionally, but he's been limited already. Can you get into some of that?
Well, here's the big powers that were exempt. These are exempt from the law, meaning the president continues to have these at any time that he wishes, allowing exemption of national defense contracts from competitive bidding, regulating the promotion, retirement, and separation of military officers, regulating transactions in foreign gold and silver, and regulating federal property purchases and contracts. limiting the assignment of claims against the federal government, and enabling the president to make national defense contracts outside of other rules. So essentially, he can buy any way he wants, and if you're trading in foreign gold and silver, he could just end it immediately. And that's all there for him to take it.
Okay.
When if he invokes some of these, there's other emergency frameworks. There's public health frameworks. There's disaster relief frameworks. And there's a whole bunch of things about arms exports. Now, ask yourself, what did you just hear that has anything to do with building a wall? Well, the big one I'm seeing is limiting claims against the federal government is a way of saying we're not going to hear court cases. By law, things that environmentalists would bring and others would bring, we ain't hearing it. And that would be something that tons of the judiciary and most of these circuits would completely ignore. So you're going to see, if he does this, skyrocketing, like Roman candles through the American judicial system, where usually cases start and work their way up month and month and plod their way along. It's usually several years before even major constitutional cases get heard by the Supreme Court. But when it's the president and the Congress, they go straight to the top. Roman candle. So what would happen if he declared that, evoked the powers of the National Emergency Act, the NEA, would be all kinds of challenges. And this would set precedent for all presidents afterwards. He would really establish this. So you have a Congress that even Mitch McConnell in the Senate might bring to the Senate floor, try to hold a vote on whether the Congress will deny him this power. They could do it right after he declares it.
Right.
Fireworks in D.C. is what you should expect if he, and he knows he's sitting there with his finger on the bomb, and he's on a loaded bus. And if there are, if Nancy Pelosi and Mitch McConnell and Chuck Schumer aren't playing it right, or aren't thinking about what he could do, it may provoke that response that is otherwise irrational. Pull the trigger on the NEA and start just basically doing a lot of governing by fiat.
Oh, man. So interestingly enough, as of January 2019, 58 national emergencies had been declared since 1976. 31 of them being renewed annually. So as you know, they had to be renewed. They could be stricken by the Congress. Do you know what that is? Is that a majority, a supermajority? I'm not sure.
I believe it's 50% of each House.
Okay.
Doesn't have to be a supermajority. So they left themselves a lot of power to undo it.
Yeah.
Most of those emergencies you're talking about, though, have been natural disasters.
Yeah.
So this covers the FEMA actions where – It's a money granting exercise in most of those cases, but September 11th certainly did this. And there's
look at that one. I like that, blocking Iranian government property. This is the longest national emergency. It goes back to 79 Carter, blocking Iranian government property under the International Emergency Economic Power Act. So this has been used, but this would be definitely the biggest use of it, at least from a PR standpoint.
It would be the most contentious.
Yeah, exactly.
Way most contentious. You have an FBI that is clearly, parts of it, in open revolt with the president. You have, who knows to what degree the CIA is trusted and even used by this president, and whether they'll talk to him or not. And even this week, the commander of Central Command, the four-star Army general who runs all of our forces in Southwest Asia, admitted in some public forum finally that when the president decided to withdraw troops from Syria, he decided to not consult with the general. So, Trump's handle on the levers of power in D.C. are...
Do you think maybe
it hasn't happened.
To some degree, do you think he tried to work with the system for a couple of years, and now a lot of it is just he realized it's not going to work, so it's kind of a bull forward with whatever political capital he has?
Well,
go all in. Is this, would this be going all in with his chips?
What's he tell his voters if he didn't build the wall?
Right. Man.
What's he tell his voters if he didn't pull out from the Middle East like he said he would? I mean, how he's not Since running for president, he hasn't been flip-flopping. Now, if you look at his statements and what parties he believed in, his ideas previous to coming down the escalator, he was all over the map. And there's a lot of sides that had a lot of things to say that why he wasn't, that's why there was never Trump Republicans, because they knew from previously he wasn't.
He didn't flip-flop much, but he hasn't obviously accomplished all of his agenda or a good portion of it. So.
But on the other hand, Reagan was a Democrat. And once he made up his mind about how he was going to finish his life, thinking about
California Republicans, essentially Democrat.
I don't think there's anything in California that resembles what Reagan's dealt with Democrats. That Democrat Party in California is annihilated. It's radical left for the last 20 years easily.
Like Feinstein's cabal.
Yeah.
Friends.
Yeah.
Assessed ability. What's worse, the banksters, Wall Street, or like San Francisco, Tenderloin, where they shit on the street. Family show here, man. Break your affections. I'm a little wound up today. Had a couple minutes until the next commercial break, but do you have anything else to cover on this? I think we hit a good topic. I'm glad we're talking about this. I'm pumped up for the State of the Union now.
This is the pre-State of the Union analysis show, so we're, there's a report that it's actually on the White House website that a young boy from Wilmington, Delaware, his last name is Trump, will be at the up on Capitol Hill tonight in the chamber, and he's essentially been invited by the Trumps because his last name is Trump, and he gets bullied viciously in school. So all the stops are being pulled out on the guests that are going to be there tonight. But it is probably historical what we're sitting in front of right now, because he has an opportunity with the right or wrong moves to make it a spectacle to the world and really change American history if he declares some things. We're also looking out for whether Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg shows up.
Yeah, true.
Or is it her?
It's a clone, man. It's going to be a clone. Just watch. All right.
Maybe a body double.
A body double. Maybe we'll get into some.
Maybe she'll look super sick, though, because she has cancer, which would be terrible, too.
Yeah, we don't want to wish, like,
if she shouldn't be there, she shouldn't go.
Exactly.
And it'll be very, it'll be the only thing people are talking about if she no-shows it. Is now 1 hour and 16 minutes before the kickoff.
You know what I hate about the State of the Union? We don't have to worry about every during this show everyone getting up and clapping. What a pain in the ass. Anyway, we will be back, folks. Final commercial break. Check them out. Stick with us. We'll finish strong. Patriot Power Hour.
And understand that Terminator is out there. It can't be bargained with. It can't be reasoned with. It doesn't feel pity or remorse or fear. And it absolutely will not stop ever until you are dead.
Hey, Patriot Power Hour listeners. Disruptions to the social, political, and economic order are a real threat. Ready-made resources can help you. For 18 years, Bob Griswold has run ready-made resources from his homestead in Tennessee. He has a ranch where he lives and learns the lifestyle. Supply yourself with night vision. Bug out at night. Most people won't be able to. Perform search and rescue after dark. And most importantly, see your adversaries long before they see you. Ready-made Resources now offers their lowest price ever on mil-spec PVS-14 monoculars and PVS-30 rifle scopes. Go off the grid with solar, send secure data by long-range ham radio, or mount a PEQ-15 infrared laser pointer on your firearm of choice. Give Bob a call. Talk to him personally. Let him consult with you. He'll set you up. Free shipping, easy checkout, and friendly support.
Call Ready Made Resources today at 1-800-627-3809. Plan, prepare, preserve at readymaderesources.com.
Achieve situational awareness. Be prepared. FutureDanger.com.
Patriot Power Hour, fourth and final segment. We are live February 5th, 2019. Your host, Ben, the Breaker of Banksters. Cochran, find me on Twitter, at Bankster Breaker. And, of course, find my good friend and co-host, Future Dan, on Twitter, at FutureDanger6. And there's a lot of other places to find us as well, but we'll leave it at that. Hit us up on Twitter. So, we got about, what, an hour and 12 minutes to the State of the Union. What else do you think he's going to talk about besides immigration and the wall? Maybe, you know, we'll talk a little bit about one of his guests. What else do you think this may be focused on? What other big areas might he be going after here?
He's going to brag like crazy about the economy for at least an hour. That is without a doubt. The statistics are going to be pretty favorable after people add them up. In my opinion, there's a case to be made that the economy is significantly stronger than it was. Growth is. All the underlying issues that we discussed day in and day out, and we did in the previous segment, still, there's a lot to add up the numbers to make it look a lot more favorable than what we endured for 8 years from 2008 to 2016. So expect to hear a lot of that. And I think there's an outside chance that the decorum of the chamber might break down. You might have people shouting at the president, and I'm pretty sure he's sort of in shivigit mode, so he might talk right back to him.
All right. This is going to be like an episode of Jerry Springer.
You used to watch, when I was a kid, you used to see, and it hasn't happened a lot. I haven't seen it a lot lately, where the house in Taiwan or Korea or some country, just brawl, just turn right into fists flying. And you get all those, you know, codgers and old time leftist mainstream media. Pundits, they'll tell you how in Andrew Jackson's day, people shot each other on the floor, and this is not really that bad. But between those people coming out 72 hours from now and now, we could have riots in American streets because of the hype that would come with something like that. Probably they all know better than to try to pull something off like that. But tensions are high in D.C. We got the Mueller report coming supposedly within 30 days. That could be a completely bogus report too. But senators are talking about being told that that's true. So, you know, we could see a massive D.C. meltdown. The only question in my mind is how resistant is the rest of the republic outside of the Beltway to it, and can the economy keep growing and everybody just cares about their business doing normal? Is it a show, or are they going to make major movements in our structure of our national consciousness that unsettles everything?
I'm definitely hopeful that the republic is, for lack of better terms, independent enough,
resilient,
perfect, compartmentalized, resilient enough to operate without freaking DC. However, a lot of the country is directly tied into the government, whether it's military-industrial complex, massive health care and subsidies, you know, Medicare and all that garbage. So certain areas would fare better than others. It'd be a massive, that first year or two would be very painful, you know, 30-40% reduction in standard of living, but you can come back from that, definitely, especially if you already have a lot of natural resources, which much of America does.
There's a ton of old people that don't want to even live through 2 years or something like that. They'd rather outlive it. And that's the problem we have, is every generation looks at this is a basket of vipers of problems for the next generations. I just want to outlive it. It's which generation is going to be there when the music stops?
I know mine is, unfortunately. I think yours will be as well. But yours is like, I think your generation thinks they can outlive it. Mine.
Yours will soon, too.
Mine doesn't.
They all did.
I think we all think it's screwed, my generation.
Wait until enough time passes.
We're hopeful, but we're like, no, it's not.
You start seeing that, well, you know.
Maybe I can hold on another.
After you pass halfway through average life expectancy,
yeah.
Which is what age?
40,
high 30s,
yeah.
Low 40s.
Yeah, let's say 40.
You have half of it left to do it. People start to think that way. Most do. The baby boomers have been awful at it, and they let it get this way, and now it's probably true for them. The Generation X,
yeah,
myself,
yeah.
is still seeing, well, if they got away with it, maybe
yeah.
We will,
I don't
too.
Think you guys will, though. I think that's where the line is going to come off. Like, right when you guys think you're at retirement is when.
Oh, the music could stop any moment, right?
Yeah.
Could stop tonight. This is.
Well, I'm hopeful it'll all get wrecked and then rebuilt by the time I'm 65. But that's probably unlikely as well.
Yeah, there's a lot of pain and suffering.
So, listeners, I'm 33 and a half years old, and I'm still young enough to count half years. I'm just joking. But 34, I'm coming up on 34 actually in March. And, you know. Another 6 years from now, when I would be 40, like we just said, am I halfway? Like at least as a working adult or something.
It's the psychology
of
most.
I don't know if it'll last that long, to be honest.
Now, I'm not saying it's the psychology that a patriot should have.
No.
Patriots should be looking for opportunities.
That
to make
resiliency.
This,
that's what I like.
Make this all reset in the right way.
Yeah.
We had a revolution once, something along that lines, without arms or with, I don't know. But if it reset it in a way that humanity in this continent can keep moving forward like we have for 230 something years, then I'm all for it.
Yeah, that's what I'm hopeful for as well. I'm trying to push towards it. You know, long time listeners of Patriot Power Hour know this, but maybe if you've only listened to this episode or a couple, we do talk a lot about that type of resiliency, building it within yourself, and your communities, etc. So we're not always just focused on the problem here, but we do talk about solutions on Patriot Power Hour. But I am hopeful. But on the flip side, you got to go through the storm, you know what I mean?
Yeah, we're sure in a calm right now. There's really nothing that's – and this is true since season 5 started after the new year. It's a we had a lot more to talk about in previous seasons. But I think that as we move into the spring, things have to come to a head. But in another piece of news I want to bring to your attention, Mr. Cochran, during the break, we like to play little bit of movie clips of back in the day, thought-provoking clips. So in the previous segment 3 break, we played a little bit of Terminator, the Reese in the parking garage, subscribing to Sarah Connors, what exactly is coming after her, and I was just mentioning to you know, I don't think we'll see killer robots in our lifetime, but we do see headlines of the direction it's heading. So we got one last piece of news off of column 4. We got a new robot that can simulate a self-image. Learn what it is. I'll say that again. It can simulate a self-image, and it can learn that it is what it created. We're talking about very primitive machine consciousness. So the indicator we carry on is you know, machines come self-aware, which is would accurately describe what the Terminator was. It came through the time machine to get Sarah Connor in the 1984 thriller dystopia Terminator. Right? But we got robots doing that and being built today.
I definitely think we'll see killer robots by the time, you know, my lifetime, once I die in the next 10 years. Because I feel as if, I mean, we already have UAVs and equivalent autonomous vehicles. Those aren't robots per se, but I don't think they're much further off from basic autonomous.
No, they're complete model airplanes right now. They're remotely piloted. What they only things that those machines can do is fly patterns that people have put them in, and come back and land if they don't get any instructions. And you could probably launch them anonymously now, but they
10 or 20 years is the game over. Who knows?
But they're not using them that way. None of the air forces are letting them be that.
We hope so.
I'm pretty sure
Skynet was supposed to be turned on either.
Okay, well, there you go. If you believe in the Skynet possibility, a self-aware drone.
They don't tell us about it. This is all super, uber black budget. Not uber black, driving service.
Yeah.
Super black budget.
But there's ways to see this.
More design, you know.
Countries that have a technology like that will brandish it. These are always used inside of massive regional area information operations. They're strategic information campaigns. And when other sides start to do things overtly or covertly that we don't like, we brandish these weapons. So if it's possible, and especially if a peer competitor like China or Russia were getting close to building this, it would be shown off to a world air show in ways that were meant to drive a message to your strategically to your opponent. We're not seeing that. I don't think I'm going to see killer robots in my lifetime.
20 years?
Because I don't think the intelligence on the basic machine that knows of itself separate from reality and can think. These are still just stacks and stacks of lines of code that people wrote.
Yeah, no, but that's fine. All it needs to be is like, okay, engage any mammal over 50 pounds and kill it. And that's a killer robot. It doesn't need to think critically. It just needs to be able to sense some sort of humanoid form and it'll blow it to hell. That's a killer robot. It doesn't have to be self-aware.
So to have something that's very narrowly programmed to be dangerous and to be released on people.
Only for a war zone, of course, but you know that's a slippery slope.
No, it would have to be deliberately designed to be, it'd be like...
It could be shut down, be like, allegedly, you know.
It'd be like handing out forks and knives to kids in the school cafeteria and purposely going in the back and sharpening one to be as sharp as a scalpel and then handing it to the kids to have lunch. It would be some cruel, sick mind that would have to do that. It would have to be some government framework that somehow let it slip through the cracks. So during a national emergency, for example, would procurement methods be used to create something like that?
Right.
Because some people mind let it become that way. When there's two things here. There's that narrowly programmed machine that's the scalpel in the school lunch room. But then there's the Terminator, a machine, it's thinking, and now it's operating only in its own interest. I don't think I'm going to see it. But this piece of news could prove me wrong.
Yeah, something that can be as smart as like the Arnold Schwarzenegger Terminator. It's not going to be able to have feelings and maybe even cry. But
with news like this,
I think we already have killer robots. I guess I'll stand. We already have killer robots for my point of view.
Self-aware.
20 years from now, self-aware is totally different. I mean,
it's totally worse, too, isn't it?
The little drone killers with missile bombs.
Self-aware is totally worse.
Oh, totally.
So they might decide they don't like Future Dan and the Breaker of Banksters can come find them.
In time travel, too. All right, folks, we ended the show for fun, but I'm looking forward to the State of the Union here in about an hour.
Go watch what he has to say.
Hope you enjoyed the show. We will be live next week, as we always are, on Tuesday, 7 p.m. And if you are subscribed, and it's free, of course, the Patriot Broadcast Network and the iTunes or other ways to listen to podcasts, be sure to be on the lookout for our new Patriot Correspondence segment. We're going to be releasing those occasionally, one or two a week, I'm thinking. It'll be a short 5-10 minute Q&A. It'll be really cool. I'm looking forward to it. It'll supplement the live Patriot Power Hour. Don't worry, they're
premiering this Sunday night.
Sunday night. All right, what day is that exactly? We'll get it right. Sunday the 10th.
February
10th,
the first Patriot Correspondent.
Check your podcast queue. Until then, we will be back next week. Enjoy State of the Union. Should be interesting. Catch you later.
The Patriot Broadcasting Network, sponsored by ReadyMadeResources.com.
Mark, hey.
It's a bloodbath up here.
Morgan stock has lost half its value. It's down to 2310. It's in a free fall. Clients wanted to talk to you about pulling their money. I mean, it's now or never, Mark. We gotta sell. Mark. Mark, can you hear me?
Mark, you there?
Mark.
Also, Bernanke just left the White House. There's going to be a bailout.
Well, they had to. Right? I mean, paper markets would have
collapsed.
They knew. Cash would have stopped coming out of ATMs. They had to backstop this.
They knew the taxpayers would bail them out. They weren't being stupid. They just didn't care.
Yeah, because they're fucking crooks. But
at least we're going to see some of them go to jail. Right? I mean, they're going to have to break up the banks.
I mean, the party's over.
I don't know.
You are listening live to the Patriot Power Hour, furnished by ready-made resources and fueled by FutureDanger.com.
Hey, Patriot Power Hour listeners. Disruptions to the social, political, and economic order are a real threat. Ready-Made Resources can help you. For 18 years, Bob Griswold has run Ready-Made Resources from his homestead in Tennessee. He has a ranch where he lives and learns the lifestyle. Supply yourself with night vision. Bug out at night. Most people won't be able to. Perform search and rescue after dark. And most importantly, see your adversaries long before they see you. Ready-Made Resources now offers their lowest price ever on mil-spec PVS-14 monoculars and PVS-30 rifle scopes. Go off the grid with solar. Send secure data by long-range ham radio or mount a PEQ-15 infrared laser pointer on your firearm of choice. Give Bob a call. Talk to him personally. Let him consult with you. He'll set you up. Free shipping, easy checkout, and friendly support. Call Ready-Made Resources today at 1-800-627-3809. Plan, prepare, preserve at readymaderesources.com.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, this is pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So now that you've chosen the vanity, paint, and bathroom tile, you still can't decide on the faucet. Let the Home Depot make that easier by saving $10 on the sleek, modern Moen Genta faucet. Right now, it's only $89. How's that for easy choices? The Moen Genta faucet. Now, just $89 during the Winter Kitchen and Bath event at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid through March 24th while supplies last.